What's good, Paul Pickett Podcast? We back at it. I'm about to react to what Mark Zuckerberg had to say on the Joe Rogan Podcast. But before we do, let's give you a word from one of our sponsors.
That dizzle ain't no joke. Got me addicted, ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it sucks. I be dizzled up. Me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gonna lie, I cannot get enough. What Cali said, I need another one. Gonna have you coming back for more, but go get it while it's hot. Before it be sold out in your stores. That dizzle.
You heard the beautiful lady. Check them out. Dizzle, premium luxury liqueur, mixture of agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Check them out. Dizzlebrand.com. Go to all locations. Top three links is links where you go order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle premium luxury liqueur. Below that is locations in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. Dizzle just hit Arkansas. So check them out. Dizzle Brand got the hats. They got the t-shirts. Click on the DizzleBrand.com store and order your merch or order your very own bottles. All right, let's get into it. See what Mark Zuckerberg has to say.
Down something that we're not supposed to. I mean, that is like, that's the worst. I mean,
how
that's
do you
like
discern. Like how, like say, like these Christian Facebook pages. I don't know how they found out that 19 of 20. Were fake, but if someone just says I am Bob Smith and they post as Bob Smith and they have a photograph and they, but really what they're doing is trying to talk shit about Joe Biden and get people to vote Republican in the midterms. Like how do you know whether someone's real or not? Like this is the big argument with Elon and Twitter, because Elon asked Twitter like what percentage of your website is filled with bots, and they say 5%, and he says, I don't believe you, I think it's higher, and let's find out how you've come to this conclusion. And you know, they're I believe they said that they just took 100 random Twitter pages and looked at the interaction, and there's some sort of an algorithm they applied to it. But how do you discern?
So I mean, I think estimating the overall prevalence is one thing, but I think that the question of looking at a page and is this page authentic, I think that there's a bunch of signals around that. One of the things that we try to do is for large pages, we try to make sure that we know who the admin of that page is. We don't necessarily, if you should be able to run an anonymous page, you don't necessarily need to out yourself and say who you are running it, but we want to make sure that we sort of have like an identity for that person on file, so that way we know like at least behind the scenes that that person is real. For certain political things, I think having a sense of what country they're originating from. I mean, some of that you can do just by looking at where their server traffic comes from. Like, is the IP address coming from Romania, or because if it's like an ad in some other country's election, then you probably want to make sure that ad is especially in countries that have laws around that are coming from someone who's a valid citizen or like at least in that place. So there's a bunch of, I think. I don't know, one theme in my worldview around this stuff, when it gets to some of the stuff that we talked about before, is like, I don't think that this stuff is black and white or that you're ever going to have like a perfect AI system. I think it's all trade-offs all the way.
Let me stop what he just said. The black and white perfect AI system. I posted something recently about right and wrong is a man-made concept, because in the laws of nature, there's really no right and wrong. It's survival of the fittest. And about the bots that they're talking about, doing marketing promotions and starting through the MySpace days and seeing when Twitter and Facebook first come out, I've seen it all with the bots. And every social media platform, you could pretty much buy every single aspect. And there's a ton of bots out there. And we do know that a lot of celebrity accounts, especially in the early days, had a ton of bots, like majority of their followers were bots. I think that's what makes TikTok so great, is that you can't bot every aspect. Like the duet part of TikTok, there's no really bot in that, like an actual real person, you know, dancing or doing the challenge to your song. There's no really bot in that aspect of it. You know, you could bot likes, followers all day, but duets is a whole different thing, you know, and I think that the bot world is always going to be out there. As long as there's a website that or a platform that has value and it's a free sign-up site, those are the sites that people are able to bot so much easier. Like, that's why it's harder to bot. It's easy to bot, like, Spotify plays opposed to Apple Music or Amazon, because all those streaming platforms only have premium accounts, and it gets very expensive in the botting world when you got premium accounts. And in free accounts, you don't have to pay for it. They just create thousands and thousands and thousands of free accounts. But, yeah, like, I understand social media is worldwide, but from an American aspect, like, American people posting to social media, the fact that we're blocking or canceling or censoring them, anything they have to say that's a thought or opinion or view is really bogus, because it just totally says that freedom of speech is under attack more than ever. But let's go.
Down. Right. And it's, and you could build a system, and you can either be overly aggressive and capture a higher percent of the bad guys, but then also by accident take out some number of good guys, or you could be a little more lenient and say, okay, no, the cost of taking out any number of good guys is too high, so we're going to tolerate having, you know, just a little bit more, like, more bad guys on the system. These are values questions, right, around what do you value more? And those are super tricky questions. And part of what I've struggled with around this is I didn't get into this to basically judge those things. I got into this to design technology that helps people connect, right? It's like, mm-hmm. I mean, you could probably tell when we spent the first hour talking about the metaverse and the future of basically building this whole technology roadmap to basically give people this realistic sense of presence. It's like, that's what I'm here to do, right?
The metaverse is supposed to give you some realistic sense of presence. How about setting goals and having ambition and achieving some kind of success towards those goals? How about let's let that do that? But, you know, just back into the video.
So this whole thing that's like arbitrating what is okay and what is not, I obviously have to be involved in that, because this is at some level, you know, I run the company and I can't just abdicate that. But I also don't think that as a matter of governance, you want all of that decision making vested in one individual. So I think one of the things that, you know, our country and our government gets right is the separation of powers. So, you know, one of the things that I tried to create is we created this oversight board. It's an independent board that basically we appointed people whose kind of paramount value is free expression, but they also balance that with things like, when is there going to be real harm to others in terms of safety or privacy or other human rights issues?
All right, so I had to stop there. I agree with him. One person shouldn't be controlling the freedom of expression. And who is mankind to say what's right and what's wrong and what's good, what's okay, and what's not okay? Then he said something about, hold on, let me run it back.
And basically, that board, people in our community can appeal separation of powers. So, you know, one of the things that I tried to create is we created this oversight board. It's an independent board that basically we appointed people whose kind of paramount value is free expression, but they also balance that with things like, when is there going to be real harm to others in terms of safety or privacy or other human rights issues?
Okay, that's what I wanted to... I'm sick and tired of this. Opinions and expressions are supposed to harm people. They only harm people because people let it harm people because they're so freaking sensitive. What happened to sticks and stones may break your bones, but names can never hurt you, man. I mean, y'all people are so sensitive, man. I've been hit by a car, man, and it shed a tear. And somebody spews facts on social media, truth, and y'all cry. Y'all want to cry and bitch and complain, man. Like, words cannot harm you, man. They only harm you because you're just some sensitive little ass person, man. Inside, you're just some weak-minded, sensitive ass person inside. But let's keep it moving.
And basically, that board, people in our community can appeal cases to when they think that we got it wrong, and that board actually gets to make the final binding decision, not us. So, in a way, I actually think that that is a more legitimate form of governance than having just a team internally that makes these decisions, or, you know, maybe some of them go up to me, although I don't spend a ton of my time on this on a day-to-day basis. But, like, I think it's generally good to have some kind of separation of powers where you're architecting the governance so that way you have different stakeholders and different people who can make these decisions, and it's not just, like, one private company that's making decisions even about what just happens on our platform.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us. Some folks on our team, it was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that.
Okay, so he says that's what we're really trying to get to right there. What he says right there. The FBI came to him and lied about lies. They basically said, well, there was Russian disinformation in 2016, which was lies. So they used lies to lie and suppress information, which is before an election, which is pretty much the very definition of rigging an election, suppressing valuable information that could sway votes one way or another, you know? So, yeah, let's get into that.
All is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said, you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have, if something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation, we also have this third-party fact-checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false. And for the, I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution is decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely...
Okay, so basically the ranking was decreased. So basically it was suppressed, but not totally suppressed is all he's saying. We didn't fully suppress it like Twitter, which didn't allow you to share it at all. And we just decreased the ranking so it wouldn't be seen as much, which is still suppressing it so people can't see it and it can't sway them to vote one way or another. Oh man, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. There's really a lot to unpack there. Then he talks about disinformation. Almost every person's opinion can be disinformation. You know, that's the thing. It's funny how they only care about certain disinformation. If it's COVID disinformation, vaccine disinformation, election disinformation. If it's just random, like, you know, I give disinformation about so-and-so went to the park, but they didn't. They don't care, you know. It's crazy how certain things, they only started bringing disinformation into the, like, the when COVID and vaccines came in, which a lot of things that were considered disinformation are now not disinformation, you know. And if nobody has all the facts on the table, then everybody's spewing disinformation. Yeah, I'm not going to watch this whole video, but this is definitely proof and evidence that information was suppressed to rig an election. It might not have been rigged in the exact form that people were saying it was rigged, but this is the very definition of rigging an election, is suppressing information so people can't use it to sway them to vote one way or another. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pull up this Bill Maher video that is actually related to that. Where is it at? Actually, I got to download it real quick. Let me download it real quick. And then we're gonna download it. We're gonna upload it in StreamYard, and it pretty much ties into with the Facebook thing, you know, of what Mark Zuckerberg just said. So let's get into it.
Hunter Biden. I mean, if Don Jr. had done what Hunter Biden had done, it would be every night, all night on MSNBC. But the fact that it's Hunter Biden and Joe's on the blue team, see, that's the problem with America. Everything is so binary. Everything that the red team doesn't like goes in the blue bin and vice versa.
All right, guys, so we got...
All right, so... Basically, you heard it from Bill Maher there. You know, it's a double standard. That's why we call them the double standard Dems, or I do, because they're hypocrites. They spew nothing but double standards and hypocrisy across the board. I remember like one that people were trying to say the Republicans have was a my body, my choice for vaccinations, but not abortions. But I'm telling you right now, that's because Republicans don't classify the life within the life as its own body, its own life, as a separate body. They classify it as a body within a body. And the way, same thing I do, as when it gets to a certain point that it has a head, two hands, legs and two feet, and a heartbeat, it's an actual life in the body. And like North Carolina's law has, what, 22 weeks? And I was talking to a friend of mine before you can abort. 22 weeks is an awful long time to wait to abort. That's over half the pregnancy time. Like, premature babies are being born before then and living, you know, and making it. So, yeah. Bill Maher's right. If that was Donald Trump Jr. weighing meth in a video, it would be like Democrats would just be going, they would be using that over and over and over again to try to get Trump and take him down. Because they got all they could use is the same thing over and over again. January 6th. I guess they try to use this FBI raid, but you know. If he did something that was so criminal, why is he not locked up? If they found anything that was incriminating, why is it not locked up? Because trust me, if they found anything that was incriminating, they would have locked him up. Because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to every tactic to try to stop Trump from running. And I think the more they do these things and fail and don't succeed, the more fuel they put on the fire. But let's hit you with a commercial, and we're going to call it another episode. This your boy, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. Please check me out 3 to 4 days a week on my video podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Rumble. And check out the audio version on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much more. Peace. See you there. That's right. Don't forget to tune in. We definitely got some puppy action going on right here. We had my cute little puppy just step up on the couch. She's probably wanting a treat. You want to say hey to the podcast listeners, puppy? Say hey. Okay, she's being a little punk right now. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in. Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.